Thank you so much. Just sitting there thinking about the beautiful music that we've had just in this month alone with Celeste bringing us, starting us off in this month with beautiful French horn music along with Anna of the choir singing the beautiful composed piece by Morgan and be able to celebrate that. And of course today we are so very fortunate to have a place where we can center ourselves in a time of music and let that be such an important part of our spiritual lives. And unfortunately, we mess it up often with words, but nevertheless, here we go. We talked about at the beginning of the service a celebration of Yom Kippur, which is considered the most important holiday in the Jewish faith. It falls in the month of September, October, based on the calendar, and marks the culmination of the 10 days of awe, which is a period of introspection and repentance that follows Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. We have several members of our congregation, including our chalice lighter today, that maintains a connection to their Jewish faith, and Alvin and others. So this is a very important time of year. This holiday is observed by asking, making amends and asking forgiveness for sins committed during the past year, which is done with a 25-hour fast and then culminating in a special religious service considered the High Holy Days. I did have a rabbi that is well known in this town that was leading a Yom Kippur service and explaining a little bit about it in our hospital one day, and he said to me, of course I know, Stephen, that 25 hours is not nearly enough time for you to repent from all of your sins. And I agree. So I pass that along to you. I know that about you as well. We need way more than 25 hours. A prayer for Yom Kippur is one that Alvin shared a few weeks ago. To those I have wronged, I ask forgiveness. To those I may have helped, I wish I had done more. To those I neglected to help, I ask for understanding. To those who helped me, I thank you with all of my heart. One of the things I love about this holiday is that it assumes we are going to mess things up. The truth is that if you're involved in relationships with fellow humans, then we are going to mess up from time to time in those relationships. What I love about Buddhism is it assumes that change is a given and that dukkha is going to happen. One of my professors in college had that as a bumper sticker on his car. And for those who understand Buddhism, he just simply said, dukkha happens. I love the fact that Shiva is not only the god of creation, but also the god of destruction. And those are in cycle with each other. Oftentimes, creation is born out of destruction, and oftentimes, destruction is brought on because of what has been created. The beautiful cycle. And even in the humanist tradition, we believe that that power is centered in humans. The ability to not only break, but also to mend. The not only to hurt, but also to heal. And this holiday, this time of year, is a reminder that we can break things and we can heal things. We will not make it through life living in authentic relationships without experiencing some bumps and bruises along the way. And oftentimes we get a little nervous in a congregation like this if we experience some chaos or tension in our relationships or fighting or fussing or, you know, the things that we UU do's pretty much every day. But the truth of the matter is, if we were gathering this many people together in community and not transgressing each other every once in a while, then that means we're really not in authentic community together. Relationships with fellow humans stirs up if you're doing it in complete vulnerability and working hard to be authentic, you will transgress each other. It reminds me of a saying that I've heard many times, that love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener. No one out there agrees with that, right? So in this place, we do the art of mending and maintaining relationships. The first principle that we've been celebrating all month long creates the potential for healing, because we often carry into this place wounds from our past, family relationships or friends, experiences in our history where we've been ostracized, where we've been cast out, where we've been put to the side, isolated, hurt, had hurtful things said to us, whether it be in our family systems or our other systems and groups that we're a part of. We know what it's like to bring pain from our past. The writer William Faulkner says, "The past is never ended. It's never even past. We are always dealing with it." In psychology, it's often described as the process of transference, which is the experience of bringing all of those experiences from the past and transferring them on to present relationships. One poignant thing about us as humans is that we are hardwired to replay the past constantly, especially when our past includes emotional pain or disappointment. Though most of us want to move on from the past and really hear Rafiki's words, "It is in the past," we don't often find our ability to move away from it. We go through our lives just simply casting new people in the roles of key people in our lives, such as parents or significant persons, which with theirs still unfinished business. So you can look around the room, and when you get entangled in a relationship here, a conflict in a relationship, just think about, well, who am I experiencing with this person, and whose face am I wearing for them in this relationship? Certainly, I haven't done enough to warrant everything that I'm getting in this moment. Maybe you have. That's the thing. If you go through all that cycle and it is you, then you got some other work to do. But we can learn to see one another without obstructions or elaborations from our own story, even if it's just for a moment. Such clarity is a triumph of mindfulness, pure attention to what's purely here in the room, unconscious transference giving power to then, awareness of our transference giving power to now. Mindfulness is the attention to that moment. So mindfulness is actually attention to the flow of what's going on. To be mindful is not a way of seeing reality as if it has stopped for us, but flowing with reality that never ceases to shift and move. So in our transference, we stop ourselves from just flowing along with the present, unconsciously being driven by so many experiences in our past, and we actually stare at it in the face and think about, what is it that I am experiencing? We catch ourselves placing our mother's face on a spouse or our former spouse's face on a new partner. We can also notice how others transfer onto us. Jean-Paul Sartre says that introspection always involves retrospection. So to look inward and to think about how I'm responding in this present moment is to also be aware of all in my history that is coming to this surface. When we choose to be in relationship in a way in this congregation that commits to the inherent worth and dignity of every person, we are literally creating positive transference opportunities for healing. We create opportunities for us to bring our pain into this place and experience something different from someone in relationship with us. Now, we may mess it up from time to time, but hopefully, over time, we get it right most of the time. We create opportunities in this place for a child that grew into adulthood never experiencing love and acceptance of parents, and invite them to be in relationship as adults with us, with other adults who love and accept unaboundedly. We create opportunities here in this place for victims of abuse to come and experience safety and trust and find the ability to be vulnerable again. We create opportunities for those who are leaving painful breakups in relationships to trust their ability to trust again and connect with other people and know that they can survive even getting hurt. We create opportunities for those who have hid all of their lives, the unacceptable parts of themselves. They come into this place and are seen and known and valued and accepted. We are more than just a congregation here. If we truly abide by our principle of letting us as a congregation be guided by our inherent worth and dignity of every person, we are more than just that. We are truly a place of healing for all to come and bring all the pain from the past into the relationships of the present and experience transformation. May we continue to do that work in this place. Brené Brown, a social worker that's often described as a guru in relationships and vulnerability, gives a metaphor of trust in relationships being an image of a person gets to be in a relationship with you as they put a marble in your jar. And the more marbles they put in your jar, the more they invest in your life, the more you are trusting in that relationship. I thought about that as I rewatched that this week and her description of those people in her life and her child's life who taught her that metaphor of those people who have put marbles in her jar and invested in a way that she can be seen and known and experienced wholeness and acceptance and love. I thought about that as I'd be standing up here this morning. So I just invite you, before we move into our time of song, to just look around the room. Look in the eyes of the people that we call our friends. And think about the many marbles that have been placed in your jar by members of this healing community.